Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get an update from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, learn about disaster relief grants for veterans from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and check in with our deployed troops overseas. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Purple is the color that symbolizes all branches of our military. Nationwide, more than 2 million children have a parent serving in our armed forces. As a tribute to the children of our brave men and women who serve, people across the nation wear purple every year on Purple Up Day. In Minnesota, 22,000 men and women are currently serving in the military. Our military-connected children bravely face the uncertainty of their parents' safety when they are away, as well as the challenge of reintegration when they return home. It is important that these military-connected youth know that their nation and community stands by and supports them. This April, please join us and Purple Up to show your support of our military kids. For more information on Purple Up Day and events you can attend in your community, please visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be back. It feels a little funny because usually you and I are together in the studio, but because of what's going on and all the efforts for social distancing, here we are doing this somewhat virtually. But I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
Glad to have you on, sir. Most of our loyal listeners know that you were on a couple of months ago, and we were talking about normal stuff like spring flooding and things like that. And we did talk a little bit about the coronavirus, but who knew that just in a short period of time that your life was going to be turned upside down by COVID-19?
It certainly has, and you know, a good old-fashioned spring flood looks pretty good right now. It has been turned upside down. This is an unprecedented event, probably in any of our lives, and it certainly is one of the major public health outbreaks in U.S. and Minnesota history. And because of the nature of this event being a global pandemic and certainly has touched all 50 states of this country, we're doing things differently than we do for what I would just call a typical disaster. So, but I'm not alone. Minnesotans' lives have been turned upside down with the closings of schools and bars and restaurants. Now the stay-at-home order. There is no one in this state that's not affected by what's going on. But so far, I'm very proud to be a Minnesotan because I think we're doing things the right way. And as I will probably say at the end, we'll get through this.
Director Kelly, later in the show, we're going to talk to the commander of the 34th ECAB over from the Middle East. And I'm reading from General Jensen now, and he said that, and usually we're covering the military and our veterans and those things, but the general says, just as Minnesota's rallied around service members, veterans, and military families during times of war, so should we collectively do the same for our first responders, medical professionals, and caregivers as they bear the emotional and physical burden of fighting this unseen COVID-19 enemy. And I know one of the things that you're trying to do is provide them with as much PPE, personal protective equipment, as you can, sir.
Yeah, the primary objective here, and if you try to talk in military terms and you're trying to find the center of gravity of this operation, is we are trying to protect our healthcare system and prevent our hospitals and other health services from being overwhelmed by this. And you know, this is a little personal for me because my wife and both of our daughters are healthcare workers in operating rooms and rehabilitation units. So that's what this is all about, and as well as for first responders, especially our emergency medical folks, those kind of people. So in order for them to do their job just like soldiers on the battlefield, we need to make sure they're adequately protected, and there is a shortage nationwide, globally, of protective face masks, face shields, and other critical medical equipment. So we're spending a lot of time trying to find that stuff and make sure that Minnesota's frontline troops, those healthcare workers, have what they need to win.
And, sir, we have a stay-at-home, stay-in-place order, and I know that a lot of the people in Minnesota are sewing masks. And I think I've heard you say on your weekly shows with the governor that if they do those, they should talk to local emergency management or maybe just get a hold of the sheriff and get those masks over there and they can get them deployed where needed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not the usual standard for first responders or people that work in nursing homes and others, but at a time when we need to preserve the medical grade stuff for those folks who have direct patient care, that's not a bad choice. It's better than nothing, and it is something that Minnesotans can do. One of the challenges with this disease, and you know, I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm just an old soldier and a tanker at that. But the smart people around me say that, you know, the challenge is people can be walking around and be feeling just fine, asymptomatic, as they say it, and not know that they're shedding virus and maybe potentially affecting other people. And to wear a cloth mask as you visit an elderly person or you do other work that brings you into contact with others could be a way of helping curtail that community spread. And as importantly as anything, it preserves that medical grade personal protective equipment for our, whether it's our ambulance crews or people working in emergency departments or operating rooms or in intensive care units. So we all need to know that those products are scarce, and we need to preserve them for those who need them the most to keep us all healthy.
We're speaking with Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management on Minnesota Military Radio. And Director Kelly, we've got people at home, and they're getting scam calls, and I think we want to warn them about giving out any personal information.
Yeah, we're getting scam calls here and phishing emails. You know, if something sounds too good to be true, you should assume that it is not true. If you want to do something, if you want to buy something, you do that on your own initiative. I wouldn't react very much to any online marketing or telephone calls that you don't expect. Sadly, there are people trying to take advantage of this. There are profiteers out there. So people need to continue to be vigilant and be aware that there are people out there who are trying to take advantage of this in spite of everything that's going on.
So don't ever give out Social Security numbers or bank account numbers or any personal information. If they really need it, they'll send you a letter and you can check them out later.
Absolutely.
Director Joe, the stay-at-home order allows for certain things that you can do. You can go out and get some food and you can get your medicine. And it says there's some outdoor activities. You can go walk your pets, hiking, running, biking, hunting, or fishing. I didn't see in that list golf, sir. I wondered about that.
And, you know, and Governor Walz was asked that question, and because this thing, you know, started and the order was issued really before at least the official start of the golf season, it wasn't specifically addressed. But when a reporter asked him that question, he said he would consider it as we see how this unfolds. And you know, you and I are golfers, and I would certainly like to go out and play a round of golf. And if we can figure out how to do that safely while giving people an opportunity to get outside and get some exercise and enjoy a little piece of normalcy, I'm hopeful that it might be authorized. But as with everything in this this response and the executive orders that he's issued, Governor Walz is looking for the data. He's looking for the assessment. And trying to keep Minnesota safe while trying to keep Minnesotans also healthy, both physically and mentally.
Well, sir, the way I hit a golf ball, we'd certainly have plenty of distance between us. one last thing, Director. I know you've talked about this every day, but while people are at home, they can still volunteer. They can still make donations or checks. And they can still make some appointments to give blood, and we need blood.
We absolutely do, and you may have heard earlier in the week the health commissioner, Jan Malcolm, from the Minnesota Department of Health, echoed that and said our blood banks are running low. And but people are concerned, and that's why you can call your local blood bank, make an appointment. They're doing a great job of maintaining social distancing and keeping people apart. But yeah, this is a as I said earlier in this is a team sport. Defeating this virus, a team sport. Everybody needs to do something, and if you can volunteer, especially to something like a food shelf. If you can make a cash donation to a charity that's helping folks, or if you can give a little blood, those are three really good things to keep in mind, because we're all going to have to work together to get through this.
Director, I know you've been just about the busiest guy in the state, I think, in your current position. I'd like to thank you for calling in today, and I want to wish you well. Take good care of yourself. We need you out there, sir.
Thanks, Tommy. I appreciate it, and I hope all Minnesotans stay healthy.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management. When we come back, we're going to learn about disaster relief grants from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're going to talk in this segment to Brad Lindsay, who is Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and in charge of programs and services over there, and he's coming on today to talk about a new topic, a special topic, some disaster relief and special needs grants. Brad, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate it.
Brad, you've been on the show a bunch of times in the past, and you've got a lot of work to do taking care of all of the veterans' homes and all the programs and services, and now we're in some funny times. There's a pandemic all over the world. It's hitting the United States, and it's coming home to roost here in Minnesota, but the state legislature came up with some money, and they gave you another job to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's we've definitely had some change in the way we're doing business, but the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is still fully functioning and carrying on and taking care of veterans as we speak. And you're absolutely right. We've been very fortunate, really came about really quickly, too. I'll tell you, some fantastic work on the part of the legislature and the governor's office and the support we received in this. You know, we were asked back in about March 9th or so by the governor's office if we foresaw any needs that would be during this COVID-19 epidemic that we could assist veterans with. And as you know, Tom, for a long time, we've been working on, the big initiatives of the VA and the governor and my department as well to end veterans homelessness. And then the other part of that, which we've just really taken up the mantle this past year, is also the veteran suicide. And so our first thoughts turn to that, in these financially trying times where things are a little unstable for our veterans, what could we do to assist? So we submitted a proposal up to the governor's office, and ended up being included in House File 4531. And so from the date we had to have that on March 11th to the governor's office, it was signed by the governor on March 28th, went through the legislature, and we got $6.2 million to provide some relief out there to our veterans across the state of Minnesota.
Brad, that's about as fast as I've ever heard anything happen in the state of Minnesota, but this coronavirus got on us quick, and it's doing things that people never suspected, like stay-at-home orders, and people are filing for unemployment, and I'm sure it's having an ill effect on a bunch of our veterans out there.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's what we're trying to prevent the backslide. You know, we started in earnest in about 2014 to take on the issue of veterans homelessness and bring that to functional zero. You've had my folks, Paul Williams, on before to talk about that, our efforts in that area. And, thought we had was, let's get some money out there. Let's make sure these veterans that are hurting, that have lost their jobs or been unable to go to their jobs because of health concerns, their job shut down temporarily, and now they're on unemployment. What could we do? So what we're going to do is anyone that was affected by COVID-19 financially, had a financial impact on them and their family. We're going to give a $1,000 grant to each veteran who meets our criteria for those grants. Additionally, we've had for a long time a program we call our Special Needs Grant, which is basically a once-in-a-lifetime grant to provide veterans some assistance for things that just pop up and they're traumatic to them. They're catastrophic. They threaten a lot of times their stability and their housing. And so things like their furnace going out or their roof needs repair, things like that. Well, with COVID-19, we said, well, we've had a lot of veterans who've already used that once-in-a-lifetime grant, so let's give them another opportunity for that if it's something that's specifically related to this new COVID-19 and the financial impact that their families felt from that.
We're speaking with Brad Lindsay, Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. And Brad, the special needs grant that you've got access to, if our veterans need that, they have to start with their county veteran service officer, and they have a new portal. They can just directly upload the documentation and take care of that. But I want to talk more about this disaster relief grant of $1,000. Can you tell me who's eligible and what criteria there is to award that grant?
Absolutely. So as I was saying, Tom, the purpose of it is to mitigate the negative effects and economic impact that COVID-19 has had on a veteran and their family by providing this one-time financial relief. So it's anything, the governor's order was dated March 13th, so it's anything after the governor's executive order. It's for a veteran or their surviving spouse of a deceased veteran, Minnesota resident, of course, and then they had to have been financially impacted by the COVID-19. So what they have to show us is that the veteran or their family members had a confirmed case of COVID-19. That is one of there's seven different criteria altogether. Another option is a healthcare provider determined the applicant or their spouse's presence in the workplace would have jeopardized their own health or the health of others because of likely exposure to COVID-19. Third opportunity is a healthcare provider determined the applicant or their spouse's health was jeopardized because of a diagnosis of underlying health conditions, which would put them at increased risk if they were exposed to COVID-19 in the workplace. The fourth one is pretty rare, but it would be for anyone who was put under legal isolation or legal quarantine because of COVID-19. The fifth one is the applicant or the spouse's employer directs them not to report to work for COVID-19 related reasons. The sixth is the applicant or the spouse's workplace is closed for COVID-19 related health and safety reasons, and the applicant is excused from work duties and cannot be reassigned. And then the last eligibility factor is the applicant is financially impacted by a school or care provider closure due to COVID-19. So in any of those cases, apply to the veteran or the veteran's spouse or the surviving spouse of a veteran. We can give them a $1,000 grant under our disaster relief program.
So how do the veterans apply for that grant, Brad?
Well, we're going to do it two ways, and as you mentioned, with special needs, a lot of our county veteran service officers, like our own offices, are functioning via telecommuting. So if you get a hold of a county veteran service officer, you can do it through them. But we're also going to have it available on our website, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, which is mn.gov/MDVA. Or you can also go to minnesotaveteran.org and find the information. Just search for COVID-19 grant. And the application will be there for directly be filled out by the veteran and can be directly submitted to us. And we'll take care of it that way as well.
Very good, sir. We just got about 30 seconds left on a repeat. They can go to minnesotaveteran.org/COVID-relief. Find more information on the grants. And Brad, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate your time.
This is Brad Lindsay, Deputy Commissioner of the MDVA, talking about $1,000 disaster relief and special needs grants. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to speak to the Brigade Commander of the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade all the way from the Middle East. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Have you served honorably? Are you a Minnesota resident? And are you interested in higher education? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for education benefits in Minnesota. The Minnesota GI Bill program provides post-secondary educational assistance to eligible Minnesota veterans, non-veterans who have served in the military, and eligible spouses and children. The purpose of this bill is to get Minnesota veterans back to work. The plan starts with education, and the first step is finding the financial assistance available to get them there. For full eligibility requirements, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade is Colonel Greg Fix, who is the brigade commander, and he's calling in all the way from the Middle East to talk to us today. Colonel Fix, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
Colonel, I want to start out with the big question. I understand there's nearly 700 soldiers from the Minnesota National Guard St. Paul-based 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade deployed with you to the Middle East. How are our soldiers doing, sir?
Our soldiers are doing very well. It's been a very busy 90 days for us. We support two missions, Operation Inherent Resolve and Operation Spartan Shield. Soldiers are doing well, performing their mission well, very resilient. And we're very happy with their performance.
Colonel, I understand when you left Minnesota, you went down to Fort Hood in Texas for some preliminary training. Can you tell us about that and how that went?
Our training with First Army went very well. First Army is required to evaluate all National Guard and Reserve units that are deploying. So that training was the first time that we bring all of our battalions together from all the different states to train. And that collective training is a great way to build teamwork. And it was a great experience for all of us. And it really set us up for success here when we arrived in the Middle East.
Sir, now I understand that your National Guard troops that you're training with come from many states, and you also have some active duty troops that are under your command.
That's correct. We have several states, about 10 states worth of different units from the United States, and that includes two active components units, one from Fort Hood, one from Fort Bragg, and we also have two coalition aviation units over here with us, an Italian helicopter unit and a Spanish helicopter unit, so it's a true coalition.
And, Colonel, I'm looking at some information that the National Guard put out, and they said your youngest soldier is 19 and the oldest one is 56. This will be the first deployment for 482 soldiers, the second for 99, the third for 57, and fourth or more for 13. And, of course, you've been deployed over in that region before, so this isn't new to you, is it?
No, it is not. There's only less than a handful of us that actually were on active duty during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. So that's when I started coming to this region. And then when I came into the National Guard here, we started deploying, the battalions started deploying in 2007. So we have a lot of experience here.
And Colonel, can you explain to us a little bit about your capabilities? I know you have some Black Hawk helicopters, but you bring not only equipment, but you bring the pilots, you bring the maintenance crew, you bring everyone you need to be able to take care of that equipment and get the job done.
Yes, we do. And the first thing that I like to talk about is our soldiers that do all of the logistical functions, because it takes over half the brigade just to support the flying units. And we have the 834th ASB out of Minnesota that fixes everything, vehicles to aircraft, and manages all of our classes of supply. And then each battalion has a support company, two support companies, in fact, a maintenance and a company that supports the other classes of supply. those soldiers work very hard. They're out in the dust and dirt and sun every day, and they get to watch the helicopters fly away. And of course, our air crews have done a great job so far with all of their missions. And the interesting thing is we are a complete brigade when we're deployed. So we have an attack battalion. So we have 864s here. And we also have a Gray Eagle unit, which has high-flying unmanned aerial systems that do all of our intelligence and surveillance. So bringing all those units together has been a real treat for our soldiers to see the whole brigade operating as one.
I'm sure, Colonel, when they're back here in Minnesota training, they see the one part that they take care of. But when you're on a deployment like this, they get to see all those pieces come together and understand how they work together.
Yes, they do, and especially our tactical operations centers at our battalion and brigade. They, when we train, we call them war fighters. They're virtual training environments, and they're very good. But now in our brigade and battalion talks, when they're coordinating operations, they're coordinating them in a joint environment. So we have our 19-year-old specialist talking to an Air Force controller and watching live video and doing the things that are maybe not quite as great when they're simulated, but when you're doing them live, it's a good experience for the soldiers. They really love it.
Great experience, and better than training. They're getting the real thing, sir, and they learn a lot on the course of a deployment, don't they?
They sure do, and that's one of our main goals here is to build the capacity of our soldiers and develop them into leaders. You know, we want them to come back with the sense of honor and that they did it all together as a team. So that Sergeant Major Hellkamp and I are really concerned about that, and we can see it in their eyes every day when we talk to them.
We're speaking with Colonel Greg Fix, who is the Brigade Commander of the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade, all the way from the Middle East on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, are you getting an opportunity to do some training with the local forces?
Yes, we are. Our main, so in Spartan Shield, we train with partner nations in the around the Arabian Gulf. And then in Operation Inherent Resolve, we operate with all coalition forces and the forces on our bases. And we also operate with the Iraqi security forces. They take the lead on everything. They've been very successful. We just turned over four bases back to the Iraqis in their success against ISIS. So that's another very fulfilling thing that our soldiers get to be a part of.
Colonel, it sounds like you're responsible for a kind of a large footprint, a large territory over there that you have to keep an eye on at all times.
Yes, we do. We have about, I don't know, 7-8 locations. It changes on a daily basis sometimes, but we have very good equipment, very good communications, and once again, good soldiers. So we connect it very well. It's very, very well integrated.
Colonel, you've been there for a few months now, and it sounds like things are going well. What are your goals for the remaining 5 months of the deployment?
Our main goal, and I already touched on it earlier, is to make sure we continue to develop ourselves and improve our capability here. We've done a good job. The first 90 days, we've learned a lot, and we want to improve that, improve the capacity of our soldiers and leaders to learn more, and then give us feedback on how we can do the job better. But the key is returning these soldiers with that sense of honor that they served their country. And we think we're well on the way there. We really want to thank the families for all their support of these soldiers.
Colonel, I would guess by now your soldiers are getting into a pretty good battle ribbon. They rhythm. They know what time they're getting up. They know when they're going to chow. They know what the mission is. Day by day, they know what to expect pretty much in country.
Yes, they do. We tend to change their routine once in a while just to make sure that everybody can, you know, they can get their exercise at a different time of the day. And make sure everybody sees different sides of the daylight. And but they're very settled, very resilient soldiers, considering how busy the first 90 days have been. So they have smiles on their faces.
Good to hear, sir. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Colonel Greg Fix, the Brigade Commander of the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Colonel Greg Fix, who is the Brigade Commander of the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade, and he has nearly 700 soldiers from the Minnesota National Guard St. Paul Base 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade over in the Middle East, and he's about 3 months into his deployment. He's got about 5 or 6 months left, and Colonel, would you say things are going pretty well so far?
Things are going very well for our brigade task force. We're operating well, and soldiers, Minnesotans need to be proud of the way their soldiers are performing here. I wish they could just see how well they're doing. I'm trying to describe it to you, but we're really proud of them.
Sir, I've been over to Kuwait a couple of times with the radio show, and I've experienced firsthand our soldiers have a knack for making themselves comfortable, even if they're out in the middle of the desert. I'm sure your troops are doing everything they can to make sure that they get good sleep and exercise and take care of the mission.
Yes, yeah, that's a big part of our resiliency efforts is soldiers taking care of themselves and leaders making sure that, even if we have to surge on our work hours, we try to give them enough rest and time to like you say, exercise. And we have a really good team of resiliency experts, and our chaplain is very active. And we make sure that, as a team, we dubbed ourselves a team of teams, that we look after one another.
Sir, I don't know what kind of reports you're getting from your troops, but we're fortunate here in Minnesota. We've got an active Yellow Ribbon community that helps your families. We've got the Minnesota Military Family Foundation here. There's all kinds of people that are here ready to help your families, but your deployment comes at a time that we haven't seen before because there's a global pandemic on the COVID-19, and I'm sure some of your troops are hearing reports from back home.
Yes, they are. We do get, our soldiers do get access to the local news feed that rotates around, especially like several networks, national networks. And one thing our soldiers are pretty impressed with is how the Midwest has handled the coronavirus, and especially Minnesota. So we're tracking all of the good things that Governor Wall is doing. And then, of course, we're concerned about our families, but we know they're doing well because they're following the guidelines. But also we're concerned about our fellow guardsmen that are supporting this back home. They're very involved in it, and we're rooting for them as they support the response to the coronavirus.
And Colonel, we had the Adjutant General on last week, and he explained to us in depth that he's taken some very unique steps to protect those guard members so that they're available to help when needed. And, of course, Governor Walz is a former guard member and Director of Homeland Security is also a former guard member. That's Director Joe Kelly. And here in Minnesota, they've got us on in order to stay at home. And from everything that we can see, there's not much traffic on the roads, and people are paying attention, and the numbers are pretty low. So hopefully your soldiers will feel good about what's going on back here in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, we're all very relieved. And we all the soldiers are very tuned in to what's going on. And right now our soldiers are just... when they call home, we just try to be empathetic with our families because we know they feel that isolation a little more than us. We have a lot of control measures here instituted. Our base, we've locked down our base to only what our operations are, and we have social distancing here, a lot of being clean and things like that, but we also know that we have each other, and sometimes our families are all alone. So we're when we call home, we try to make sure that we focus on them and what that effect is having on them as far as not being out and around or at their jobs.
I'm sure the virus has applied a little extra stress to the families and to your troops, sir, but I think everybody's pulling together and we'll beat this thing soon. So I hope your mm-hmm. soldiers can deal with it well, and I suppose when they come home, they may have to be isolated for a few days before they can be reunited with their families.
Yeah, that might be the case. You know, we return in the early September timeframe. We're prepared for that. Our soldiers are prepared for that. We hope by that time we won't have isolation, but we're always ready for that. We are not surprised at the leadership of our state and all the leaders you mentioned and how well Minnesota is doing complying, because that's what we do. So we're not surprised at all at the low rates of infection that are going on in Minnesota.
Colonel, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about your soldiers with the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade?
I just want to thank the community and all the organizations you listed and our state leadership and our families, especially, for supporting us while we're overseas. And we're a little over halfway there. And we've got about 5 months left. And we're going to close it out strong here, and we're praying for all of you back there dealing with the coronavirus. And we look forward to seeing everybody this fall.
Colonel, thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Colonel Gregory Fix, the brigade commander of the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer here in Minnesota. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom. Glad to be back with you.
Greg, we're in some uncertain times. I don't know if anybody could have predicted there'd be a worldwide pandemic and that it made it all the way to the United States, and it's hitting some cities like New York and New Orleans pretty hard, and here in Minnesota we've got people staying at home under orders, and we're trying to deal with that coronavirus. What are you hearing from our veterans out there?
Well, we're not hearing too much. I believe they're staying home too. We've been making phone calls kind of to our shut-in vets, asking them how they're doing. And down here in southern Minnesota, New Orleans, where I'm at, they're doing pretty good. We've got they're able to call into the grocery store, you know, and order their groceries to be delivered. So they're doing okay.
So I know the American Legion is pushing buddy checks, so you're kind of doing your own version of that in your counties.
Yeah, that's right. We've been advising statewide CBSOs to do those. I've been publishing a daily update has all the CBSOs listed and different agencies and stuff and what they're doing. Yep.
So if our veterans need to, can they still submit claims for medical problems related to their service?
Oh, they sure can. And we submitted one here just yesterday. A lot of the CBSOs offices are closed. Some of them are working from their homes. So they're able to work through email and telephone and fax and things like that to get documents to the CBSO, and then they're able to send those to the various claims offices, the DAV, VFW, American Legion, also by email. It makes it a little harder, but yet it makes it a little easier, too.
I'm glad things are still moving forward. Greg, earlier in the show we had Brad Lindsay on, Deputy Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he told us about the $1,000 disaster relief and special needs grants for veterans related to the coronavirus, the COVID-19 hardships. And I think that when it comes to that special needs grant, they need to talk to all of your partners, your county veteran service officers.
That's right. The special needs grant is part of the State Soldiers Assistance Program, or the SSAP. And all of those applications always have to be originated by a county veteran service officer. Usually there's a lot of different documents that we have to have. And now on the new COVID special needs grant, it'll be just the same. Come to the County Veteran Service Officer. Now is even the best time to look us up online on our website, www.macbso.org, and find the phone number for your service officer. So call first, obviously. We don't want you to come down and then find the front doors locked. We want to get a call in.
So if they need a special needs grant, they got to talk to their County Veteran Service Officer. And I understand there's a new portal that you can just upload the required information. Does that speed things up, you think?
Oh, absolutely. We've been running some beta tests on that with some select CBSOs. And the first one that I loaded up was actually, it was on Wednesday, on the 1st of April, and it was a breeze. Couple of clicks and it was done. I got a response back that they had received it, and I hope that we can use this going forward even when COVID's gone.
So very good. And once again, you got to start with your County Veteran Service Officer and do those things. Greg, the last thing I wanted to ask you is we got a lot of people stay-at-home order. We have to stay at home, and we've got some veterans that are maybe a little depressed out there. We should probably encourage everyone to do that buddy check. Call on your veterans, see how they're doing, get them some help if they need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to let you know, too, that in my office alone, and might be in other ones, people are starting to bring in their homemade masks. So if there's people, veterans, that are thinking, well, I should like to have a mask, but I can't get one, call your County Veteran Service Officer.
Well, it's what we've said for years. If our veterans need anything, start with their County Veteran Service Officer. There's at least one in every county, and here again, you've proved that it works, Greg.
Thank you very much. That's what we're here for.
Greg, thanks for joining us today, and keep our veterans healthy out there, and you stay well.
Thank you very much. You too. Bye.
That was Greg Peterson, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security Emergency Management, Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Colonel Greg Fix from the 34th ECAB, Greg Peterson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Zinsen. Please join us next week as we get an update on the annual Vets Day on the Hill and hear the latest from the Minneapolis VA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota. Go to militaryradio.com.